when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, thank you, dear Blood River Radio family, for hanging on. You know what? We need another daggum. We need a Blood River right here in the United States. We need to turn the waters of the Mississippi River red with the blood of our damn enemies. That's what it's going to take. Anyway, people, we said we promised you we're going to bring on Dr. Michael Hill. He's the director of the League of the South, has been for, I think, about 27 or 28 years now. We're bringing him on here. And Dr. Hill, as you well know, he always fills an hour. No one fills an hour any better than Dr. Michael Hill. He's our general. He's our leader. And we're very, very honored and happy to have him on. How are you doing tonight, General Hill?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on again.
I appreciate you coming on. I know Rand, he's raring to ride shotgun with me. It's going to be me and Rand. We're going to be driving the old stagecoach and riding shotgun while you control us. So go ahead and talk. What are we going to talk about tonight, Dr. Hill?
Well, listen, there's certainly no shortage of things to talk about. It seems like the entire system is just falling apart, which for us is good. Because that's what we've been predicting that was going to be necessary for us to have a sort of rebirth of freedom here in the South and elsewhere for the last 30 years. You know, and I think what we're seeing is the fall of the American hegemony in the world, the unipolar world that the United States has ruled over for the last 30 years or so since the fall of the Soviet Union. Is coming to an end, and the financial system that underpins it is coming to an end, and the political system too, I think, will be coming to an end. And that's going to be a lot of chaos and confusion, but in chaos and confusion is great opportunity. So I'm simply continuing to beat the drums here like I've done for the past 30 years, telling Southerners, prepare yourselves psychologically and physically and logistically for all these changes that are coming and all the dislocations that will take place, and which means you might be thrown back on your local resources for a while, what you have already stored up and what you can arrange to secure and procure from the people that live in your area. But this is going to be a necessary step, I think, in the revitalization of not only the South, but other white countries that have been misruled, not just for the past 30 years, but really for the past 100 or so. And what you're going to see here is a desperate attempt by the regime, the establishment, whatever you want to call it. And, of course, right at the heart of that is international Jewry, the Jews. And they're going to do everything in their power to keep the system up and running and keep it from falling, but they're not going to be able to do it because the system was based from the very beginning on lies and unsound practices all the way from politics to economics. And all those chickens are coming home to roost now, and you're beginning to see the cracks in the foundation everywhere. And you know, we've got things that we haven't seen before. For example, the indictment of a former president. You know, I'm not a Trump supporter, and have never put a great deal of faith in Donald Trump because, you know, first of all, I don't really know who he is, and because of that, I don't really trust him. But he has become sort of the avatar, the face of you know, the middle and working class whites whom the left and the Jews hate. So they're persecuting him in hopes that he will his downfall will somehow hurt us. I don't think it will. I think what it'll do is just point up to white folks that even somebody like Trump, who is white and doesn't necessarily represent you, they'll go after. And if they'll go after him, they'll sure as hell go after you. So I think there'll be a lot of lessons to be learned from that and everything that else is going on right now. The war in Ukraine is turning very, very badly against the United States and NATO. It's just a matter of time before the Zelensky regime is overturned and probably Kiev is occupied. And all of that is going to put further strains on the American empire. And, you know, the dollar is losing its international value as a store, a reserve currency. I mean, everything that we predicted about the empire, the American empire for the last 30 years, is beginning to happen. And once this gets underway good, and this is really beginning to do that, it's going to pick up speed, and the downfall of it, the final downfall, I think will come in a very big hurry. So that's why I'm telling people, don't mess around in getting your preparations made to go through some hard times. How long will those hard times last? I don't know, but I would say that if you're smart, you'll prepare for at least 6 months to a year of things to be dislocated to the point of where you don't recognize the world that you've seen for the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, depending on how old you are. So, you know, we're in a time of crisis and chaos, but a time of great opportunity. So where does that leave us as Southern nationalists? It leaves us with an opportunity here to push for the thing that we've been most wanting to see since the inception of the league back in 1994, and that is a free and independent South. And it may become a necessity just to survive. You know, that old adage that we used to put out there, secede to survive, may be really, really true now, literally. Not just to prosper, but to literally survive. So we need to be pushing the idea of secession and Southern independence as an antidote to what's going on around us, the fall of the American empire, quickly, because we don't want to go down with this sinking ship, the Titanic, I guess you might call it. We don't want to go down with that. We want to man the lifeboats and get the hell out of here while we can.
You know, before I ask you any questions, Dr. Hill, and before Rand asks you any questions, if you will, put out, I know there's never enough money. Dr. Hill, how can people contribute to the League of the South? Because if we need it more now than we ever have. So put that address out there, how they can get money to the League of the South, Dr. Hill, if you don't mind.
Well, I appreciate you letting me do that. And I would like to say to everybody out there, you know, all organizations can use money. I mean, you know, we're no different from anybody else, but we do have a good track record. We've been around for 30 years. We haven't been perfect by any means. We stepped in some holes and had to crawl out of them, but, you know, we try not to make the same mistake twice. So I think if you do contribute money to us, it will go to a good cause. I can promise you that. You can email me at jmichill@cs.com. Well, I tell you the easiest way to do it is just go to our website, which is www.leagueofthesouth.com. And on there, you'll find all kinds of contact information, email, phone numbers, things like that. But if you want to just, you know, give me a call in the office here, I've got a phone number here. You can reach 256-757-6789. And if I don't answer, I'm out of the office a lot. Leave a message. I'll call you back, and I'll tell you how you can donate to help us. And also, if you're interested in joining the league, we'll send you an information packet and a free copy of our latest newsletter. We're getting ready to put another one of those out, the Free Magnolia. It's going to be another good issue. So that's how you can help us.
Boy, I love that paper too. In fact, I'll have to be ordering another box pretty soon. That's for daggum sure. You know, it's getting good weather. It's good. It's pretty soon we'll be having all kinds of events at the Agri Center here. You know, here in Memphis, the Agri Center is huge. That's a great venue to pass out those papers. But Dr. Hill, before we go to the break, I was going to ask you, we're up against a break. But you know, you mentioned the United States dollar ending its reign as the world's reserve currency, and I see where this is kind of a kind of 2 or 3 part question. I see where Saudi Arabia they buried the hatchet with Iran. They have become, those two countries have come together. The so-called deal was supposedly brokered by Red China, and they're saying they're no longer going to take dollars for their oil. Once that happens, probably the reign of the petrodollar will end. And also their currency, including Russia, there's talk with Iran joining the BRICS, you know, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa alliance. That's really going to spell disaster for everybody here in the United States. Once that world, the dollar loses its status as world reserve currency, you're probably talking about $20 a gallon oil here. But, you know, with that said, I'll just make a comment before you answer that question. A lady, I think it was Monica, said on this radio show last week, she read a quote from Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's a good Jew. I know they would never harm this country, but he said something like, I'll paraphrase it, he said, we're going to milk the United States. We're going to take everything out of the United States we can. We'll let them, then they'll draw up. And once we get through with the United States, it'll be dry. It'll be dried up, and it'll just blow away. When we come back to this break, go back to India with that statement, Dr. Hill. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, once again, before we go back to Dr. Hill, I want to thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you 1,000 times for keeping us, our show, above, like you burned our head above water. We're doing good. We're making airtime pretty good right now. And, I mean, we're not rich, but we've got some things planned in the future. Like I got something really big time planned in the future. I'm going to talk to Dr. Hill during the break some and probably after the show. I think he's going to be excited about it. If we keep the donations keep coming. We were talking about, before we went to the break, you probably remember we asked Dr. Hill, we were talking about the future end of the petrodollar. After Bretton Woods, at the 1944 Bretton Woods, I think it was Massachusetts, that's where they decided, the so-called Western allies decided that the United States dollar would become the world reserve currency. In the, I think they're up in the 70s, with Kissinger went going over to Saudi Arabia, they could convince the Saudis to take dollars, to just demand dollars in payment for their oil. So any country in the world that wanted to buy oil, they had to buy it in dollars. That's all coming to an end. We asked Dr. Hill about that. We talked to Dr. Hill about that. We asked him about that. And also, one more thing, the Saudis and the Iranians and the Indians, especially probably the Chinese, they're talking about this. There's been talk, I may be wrong, about a new currency over there that's interchangeable between all these countries. It's going to be backed by gold, folks. So anyway, Dr. Hill, take off on any comments you have on that, if I didn't get you too confused, like I think I confused myself. But go ahead, Dr. Hill.
Well, there's so many angles to this that are important. I think the most important, maybe the central one, is this. With what's going on right now with BRICS and the demise of the petrodollar, if you're holding dollars, you are going to be hit with terrible inflation. You think it's bad now? You just wait. So if the smart people are going to be dumping dollars, and the smart people are going to be turning those dollars into gold and silver. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And other usable commodities that you can store that are not perishable that you know you're going to use. But the dollar is going to take a hit. We've already seen some inflation, but nothing like we're going to see if all of this stuff manifests itself, and I don't see anything stopping it. The United States has become the pariah of the world. For the last 30 years, it's thrown its weight around. It's become a bully to the rest of the world, and now the rest of the world sees the United States in a very vulnerable position. You think they're going to reach out and with a hand to help the United States up? Hell no, they're going to kick the United States into the dust if they can, and deservedly so. The United States has been nothing but a bully since the end of World War II, and particularly since the demise of the Soviet Union, when that left us as the single great power. Instead of helping the world, we bullied the world. When the world didn't do what we wanted to, we punished them economically. And if that didn't work well enough, we'd send the military in. So the United States have made themselves hated throughout the world, and deservedly so. That's why the South needs to get the hell out right now.
Yes.
And say, hey, we want no part of this. This was not our doing, you know. And I'm telling you, any young Southern folks out there that are thinking about going into the U.S. military, do not do it. You will be selling your soul to the damn devil by doing that, and they will send you out to spend your blood on some godforsaken adventure to benefit them, and certainly not you or your native Southland. So don't do that. But, you know, this whole thing about the demise of the dollar, and the dollar has underpinned the United States' ability to be a bully for all these decades here. And that's going to be going away. Unfortunately, the ones who are going to suffer are the innocent people out here, particularly in the white working and middle class, people whose savings are going to be devastated, whose buying power is going to be dried up. So you really need to prepare yourselves, and don't let this take you by surprise. But it's it's deserved. I think this is God's punishment on this evil regime, and we certainly don't want to be hit by the falling debris of this building coming crashing down. And it's going to come crashing down. It cannot sustain itself. It's been built on a faulty foundation, a foundation of lies and deceit, and it's going to fall. And listen, here is the underlying problem. For the last 100 years, and particularly since the end of World War II, some 80 years ago, the United States government has been taken over by an alien people with an alien ideology. It's sometimes called ZOG, Z-O-G, Zionist Occupied Government. The Jews have taken over the American government and have used America as a golem, a bully, to push Jewish interest in the world. And they have not cared. You know, you gave the Netanyahu quote before you went off after the first segment there this hour. And that is true. They are parasites, and they have sucked this country dry, just like they sucked Russia dry, just like they sucked London and the rest of Great Britain dry. They are now sucking the United States dry, and that's almost completed. They'll move on next to somewhere like China or somewhere else and suck it dry. But that's what they do. They're parasites. The United States would do well right now to let this system fall. Don't try to save it. It's not worth saving. It's not worth reforming. It's just worth leaving. Let it fall. Let's go through the pain and suffering that's going to take and learn a lesson. No more Jews. No more Jews in our midst.
Amen.
No more Goyim in our midst who cooperate with the Jews.
Double
they
amen.
They have been nothing but parasites and trouble in every white society in which they have gone. They have left nothing but destruction and delusion.
Amen.
In their wake. And we need to learn that lesson. And one of the biggest impediments to learning that lesson has been the evangelical community who think these people are God's chosen.
Well, you're on fire, Dr. Hill.
These people are the devil's chosen. And if you don't believe that, you haven't read your Bible right. But anyway, I'm not going to get off on theology here. I'm just telling you that this system that we have, this system that has been based on a lie, economic lies, political lies, etc., is coming to an end. And thank God it is. And we
yes.
just need to be ready to pick up the pieces and build something that our ancestors would be proud of. And our future generations of Southerners and other Americans will be proud of and will be able to prosper in. And that is our job, is to weather this storm and start the rebuilding process.
You know, Dr. Hill, we referenced Benjamin Netanyahu's statement, how they were going to Jews, were going to suck the United States dry. And then when they were through with them, they were just going to let them just blow away as an empty hull. We know that with that statement, we see where he stands. We also know that since day one, that the so-called the Jews in Palestine that they call Israel, it's really an outlaw state, that's an outlaw occupation of Palestine. But the Jews there, their so-called Israel, we know they have been working hand in hand with Red China since day one. Even when the United States has had embargoes against Red China, the Jews have always acted as middlemen and going into China where nobody else could and dealing and making double and triple and five times to the dollar on goods going back and forth that the Chinese couldn't get and we couldn't get. That leads to this question here. Once this country does fall, totally collapse, where does that leave the Jews in the so-called Israel? The second part of that question is, will the Jews in Israel use the United States, the atomic missile system here in the United States, the vast atomic warheads we have with missiles that can deliver these atomic warheads anywhere? Where will Israel stand? Where they stand after the United States collapses, are they going to somehow be able to use the Jews, Israel, the United States military might as a deterrent to Red China? And I guess I could say that I know that they've been working with Red China all along. But what about that, Dr. Hill? You have any thoughts on that?
That's a very good question. China does not want war with the United States. Everybody realize that. China does not want war with the United States. I don't care what you're hearing about Taiwan and all that. And we'll get to this after the break. I hear that coming up. But this is an extremely important question.
Yes, sir. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back after this segment. And we got to bring old Rand in pretty soon. Be right back, folks.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Threats against a Dallas mall this morning were unsubstantiated, according to police. North Park Center was evacuated around 10:30 this morning local time due to reports of an unconfirmed threat. The mall reopened just around 1 this afternoon after police gave the all clear. Two people are dead and a police officer wounded after a standoff in the town of Blanchard, Oklahoma, just southwest of Oklahoma City. That standoff began after police responded to a domestic disturbance call. During that standoff, the officer was wounded. Police later entered the home and found two people dead, including the suspect. The Biden administration is appealing a ruling by a federal judge in Texas that blocks the approval of a commonly used abortion pill. Vice President Kamala Harris saying the administration is on the side of women's reproductive rights.
There is no question that the president and I are going to stand with the women of America and do everything we can to ensure that women have the ability to make decisions about their health care, their reproductive health care, in a manner that is what they need.
In a separate and opposite ruling, a federal judge in Washington is prohibiting the FDA from pulling mifepristone off the market. China is holding military drills around Taiwan as a U.S. delegation is visiting the island. China said the three-day drills are a serious warning against Taiwan separatist forces. Volkswagen is recalling more than 143,000 Atlas SUVs over an airbag-related issue.
According to the automaker, the wiring in some of the vehicle's front passenger detection systems could be faulty, causing the airbag not to deploy in a crash. The recall affects the 2018 through 2021 Atlas and 2020 Atlas Cross Sport vehicles. Volkswagen warned owners not to allow anyone in the front passenger seat until a free repair is done. I'm Skip Kelly.
And Pope Francis will preside over an Easter Vigil Mass this evening in St. Peter's Basilica. This is USA News.
SpringFest Savings is here at Lowe's. Don't miss out on the best deals of the season, like three free bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil when you buy three. Plus, save on other items like select laundry pairs. Get an additional $100 off select laundry pairs when you spend $1,296 or more. Head to your local Lowe's or visit Lowe's.com to shop SpringFest Savings today. Valid for 4/12. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for details.
Nothing fights the winter blues like a delicious and satisfying meal. Luckily, Omaha Steaks makes it easy to stock up and fill your freezer with flavor. Save on perfectly portioned favorites, easy meals, and so much more with Omaha Steaks Freezer Filler Sale. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $30 off your order. That's $30 off an endless variety of gourmet choices. Visit omahasteaks.com, use promo code TREAT at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Real dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to Dr. Hill, and I can't remember how much we talked about during the break, how much we talked about on the air, but Dr. Hill's going to come back and talk about a scenario that we discussed just a few minutes ago. Go ahead, Dr. Hill.
Washington, D.C. is pushing for World War III to come out of the current conflict between Ukraine and Russia. They're pushing it as hard as they can, and I'll tell you why I think that is true. They realize that because of the fact that they have now revealed their hand domestically by saying that the greatest threat to America is white supremacy, white domestic terrorism, whatever. And because they've stolen two elections now, in 2020 and 2022, they obviously cheated to steal those elections. The chances of another white man ever being president of the United States, and I don't, Joe Biden is really not the president of the United States. He may be a figurehead, but you know who's running the show. Whites will be disenfranchised and will never have political representation again unless the election thing is finished. And when whites realize that, we are on the verge of a civil war in this country. I mean, a hot civil war. And the government in this country and the Jews know that they will never win a civil war. and I won't go into all the details as to why, but they would lose. They would absolutely lose. So what can they do to prevent a civil war from happening, which I think is inevitable, unless things dramatically change within the next couple of years. 2024 will be the acid test of this. They want to keep a civil war from happening in America by fomenting a really World War III in Russia to preclude that, with Russia to preclude that. So we are living on the precipice here of either World War III or a civil war in this country. And that's something that people need to wrap their heads around, because these people are really, really pushing both. The Jews are pushing for World War III with Putin, between us and Putin, or NATO and Putin. And they're also pushing white people to the limit by designating us domestic terrorists, white supremacists, and by cheating in elections to make sure that we will never have political representation again, and we'll have to live under a communist regime. And that's not going to be acceptable to white folks.
You got that
so,
right.
You know, both ways, we're looking at conflict. I don't think we're going to be able to escape either one. Well, we won't have both probably, but we'll have one of the two. And I think the most likely scenario, because Putin's going to keep a cool head about this, I think, is a civil war in America. And I've written about this over the years on many occasions. I certainly don't welcome it, because I've been in war zones before and seen what it looks like, and it's not a pretty sight. And you've been there too, Eddie.
Amen to that, brother.
And it's not a pretty sight. But hey, if it comes, it comes. And we got to be ready for it. But it won't be because we pushed it. It'll be because we got pushed into a corner and had no options other than, you know, it's either fight for our lives and our freedom or be slaves. And I think that's coming. And again, people need to get their brains wrapped around that and be psychologically as well as physically and logistically ready for it. Because we have some scenarios that are not too pleasant for the future. But, you know, in the long run, I think we'll come through them. There'll be casualties, of course, and we'll come through them as a people better off than we are now. Because I have faith in our people, white people. We've created the greatest civilization the world has ever known, and we haven't forgotten how to do that. So, you know, but we got some tough times because we've made some bad decisions. And those bad decisions have got to be worked out of the system. And that's what we'll have to do. We'll just have to roll up our sleeves and do the job that needs to be done.
You know, I guess the last question I asked before we bring Rand in here, last question for right now, Dr. Hill, is, you know, when it does hit the fan, it's already almost in the fan now to a certain extent.
It is. It's hitting the fan right now.
Yes, sir. I guess this is a two-part question or three-part. I'm notorious for these multiple parts of a question. Who is going to maintain control of the military in those missiles, with those nuclear-headed missiles? And let's see, in how many, kind of lost part of that, but my train of thought there for a minute. But who's going to maintain control of the military? And we know, Dr. Hill, I know you know as well as I do that the military right now is controlled by a bunch of communists. That General Milley is nothing but a faggot communist. The Pentagon's nothing but they've got a bunch of faggot communists. We just talked about the first hour how they let those Chinese balloons come over and hover over the sensitive military post and transmitting signals back to China. Milley knew it the whole time. When it finally crashes, who's going to have control of the military? Who's going to have, especially who's going to have to control the missiles? How many of the military people in the military member are going to be loyal to the beast, to the empire, or how many will come out and fight for their own country? And I lost track of the other question I was going to ask you. Maybe they'll come to me in a second, and we'll bring old Rand in. But go ahead, Dr. Hill. How about that?
Well, this is just a speculation, but I've done a little bit of study and on it, but I think slightly over 50% of the military will defect to the good guys, to the civilians, to the citizens of the country. I think a slightly less than 50% will probably be loyal to the government, at least for a while. I don't know about the nuclear arsenal. I mean, you know, when you start launching nuclear weapons, whether you're launching them on your own people or launching them on some foreign power, you've gone from a conventional situation to a worldwide crisis. And I don't think that nuclear weapons are going to fit into this scenario either way. If we have an attempt at World War III, I think it'll be conventional, and I don't think it's going to work. And I certainly don't think if there's a civil war here, anybody's going to be launching nukes within the United States. So I think that may be a moot point. But as far as who's going to get the military is going to be split. You got a lot of people, military people in 2016 voted 68% for Donald Trump, which makes you at least say, well, most military personnel are lean toward the conservative side, you know, and with Trump being persecuted right now, that's going to make a lot of those military folks even madder. So if all this stuff hits the fan, I'd be willing to say right now that more than half the military are going to be on the side of the good guys. And the ones who are not, the regime is not going to know, well, who among us is traitors? You know, do we have any moles in here, people who have just stayed on to inform the good guys of what's going on here? That's one reason I think the regime can't win a civil war.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a good answer there, Dr. Phil. I wish I could remember the other question. I'll probably remember in a minute. But, Rand, you've been holding on patiently, brother. I'm sure you have some questions and some comments for the audience, and for our family and for Dr. Hill. Go ahead, Rand.
Yeah, y'all said a lot of good stuff. But Dr. Hill, as a historian, talk about the percentage it might go with, let's say, our side and their side. What was the percentage in the Revolutionary War? It was a lot smaller than 50%, I believe.
15.
Okay. I'm going to go along with that. It'll be more like 15, simply because I think most are going to go where they think that they can protect their own backsides the most. And
right.
That's just my opinion, of course. But and as far as the leadership of this country, I think the leadership has been put in place by our sovereign God, because we have turned our back against him. And I think this leadership has been set up as a judgment against us. I mean,
oh,
let's
I agree.
Face it,
yeah.
We used to be called the Bible Belt, right? I don't think we can call. And I'm gonna even say this: all this bad weather, these tornadoes that come through. I mean, you live up North Alabama and Eddie in Memphis. All this. I mean, we've all been hit by this violent weather.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't think we can call ourselves the Bible Belt anymore, because we turned our back on Christ and our sovereign God. And one thing y'all talked about a lot, I know I'm throwing a lot out here, but as far as the money, something wasn't mentioned is digital money. That's coming. Count on it.
Yeah.
Digital money is coming. Once we get digital money,
that's right.
Once they get that place, they're going to have their thumb on us even more.
Yeah,
Rand,
like
we
got to
go to
the
last break.
That.
There's that hang on, Dr. Hill. We got to go to this last break. We'll be right back. And Dr. Hill's going to talk about the digital money as soon as we return to this break. Hang on, folks.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Blood River Radio family. I cannot believe this is the last segment of the second hour, but so be it. Anyway, we're going to go right back to Rand was asking Dr. Hill some questions about the digital currency, different types of digital currency. You heard CW talk about that. So go ahead. Rand, finish your question to Dr. Hill, and he's going to come in and talk about that.
Now, I just a couple more things, and I'm just going to step aside. I'd like to hear Dr. Hill's comments about the digital money, and I'd also like to bring up about correspondence to some of the Russian leadership from white nationalists and just let them know in some way, shape, form, or fashion that everybody over here in the United States is not brain dead, and that we do see through some of this, and that everybody over here is not necessarily for Ukraine, and that we support the Russians in many ways in their efforts. Anyway, I'll just turn it back over to Dr. Hill.
Okay. All right. Those are good questions. About digital currency, I think digital currency is inevitable because of the way things are moving. But digital currency in and of itself is not bad. This central bank digital currency will be terrible. So anything that's CBDC, central bank digital currency, I don't care what the government tells you about it, it is going to be something that will enslave you in a net that you can't get out of. But something like Bitcoin is also a digital currency, but it is not controllable by any government or any third party. It's free from that. I'm not ready to advocate it, but I'm not dismissing it yet. I'm still researching it. And I would encourage all of you to research Bitcoin, not any other of these digital currencies, but look into Bitcoin. I think it has some possibilities. I think the only thing that governments could do is to try and outlaw it. And I don't think they've got the ability to do that because of the nature of Bitcoin and this blockchain technology that it's based on. But anyway, I won't go into any more details about that. But digital currency in and of itself, I mean, we use it today. When you use a credit card, you're using digital currency. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But central bank digital currency is terrible. It will be something that enslaves us if we let that go through. Resist it like your life is at stake, because it is. Now, about the question about Russia, I think that the Russian government understands there's a difference between Washington, D.C. and the regime and its opinions and those of the American people. In 2015, I sent a letter to the Russian embassy, the Russian ambassador in Washington, D.C., and through him, I invited Vladimir Putin to speak to the League of the South on cultural matters, not political matters, for those of you at FBI listening out there. But this was not an attempt to contact a head of state for political matters. It was an invitation to a Russian to come and speak to us on cultural matters. And obviously he was not able to do that because of his schedule. But we did get a very nice letter from the Russian ambassador. So we made contact with him and we let them know that we in the South, the Southern people, believe that we have things in common with the Russian people. First and foremost, the fact that we were Christians and that we were white and that we had mutual interest in the world, and that is to protect white civilization from the rising tide of non-white attempts to overthrow our countries through immigration and things like that. So we've already made some contacts, and I've been on, I participated in a couple of conferences by Skype that were held in Russia by Russia with Russian nationalists.
Wow.
They invited several nationalists from around the world to participate, and I participated in those a few years ago. So we've had some exposure in Russia and with the Russians, and they know that we do not support the regime in D.C. About their foreign policy, that we oppose the American empire just as fiercely as they do. So I do think that these contacts are worth making just to show that, hey, you know, Washington, D.C. does not speak for the American people, at least not all of us. And it's very good to get that word out through these cultural contacts. We realize that we can't do anything politically there because we have no authority to do that, but we can contact Russians, even Vladimir Putin, as individual citizens about cultural issues, things like that, and we'll continue to do that. So, but I'd also like to comment on what Rand said earlier. America is under judgment. I'm a Christian. I know y'all are as well, and I realize what happens when a country turns its back on God. It receives all these punishments that we're receiving now, and they're just punishments. Well, the first thing we need to do is get down on our knees and ask God for forgiveness and to turn our face back to him and ask him to be our God and for him to be our God and to let us be his people once again. I mean, we are his people, but we need to repent of our shortcomings and our sins and get back in his favor before we can expect any blessings to come our way. So we have a lot to do. We have a lot facing us, but we have a God, if we will turn to him, who will take us through this and set our feet back on solid ground.
Yes, sir. I don't pray as much as I should, but I've been praying a lot more than I have been in the past. And I'm going to tell you because I've been really, I'm really anxious about this getting so close to war, nuclear, all-out nuclear war. And with that, what's getting closer to all-out nuclear war, you know, there's a very small decimal point fraction of lunatic Jews in this country. And, you know, Tel Aviv running this country, like Dr. Hill said, that the Jews want this war. Dr. Hill, is there any way we as people, can we go in? I don't know if we'll ever be able to wake up these damn Southern Baptists, United Methodists, the United Presbyterians. But is there any way we can do to at least delay the onset to the march toward all-out nuclear war? Can we be a throw a monkey wrench in the works of the international Jews march control of the United States to start a war with Russia? Is there anything, I'll go ahead and preface it with peace. Well, I hate the word peaceful, but what can we do? Is there any way we can do to like get in the streets with signs, anything? What can we do, Dr. Hill, to try to stop this war?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is pray to God that he'll stop it. And I think the next thing we need to do is to speak out and speak the truth about what's really going on, who started this war and why. It wasn't Vladimir Putin who started this war. It was people like Victoria Nuland in the U.S. State Department and the CIA who started this war almost 10 years ago and forced it upon the Russians. The best thing we can do is just simply tell the truth about that. again, you know, don't serve the U.S. military. If you're thinking about joining, don't. You know, don't. You don't want to be cannon fodder for this regime.
Amen.
Otherwise, that right now is about all we can do. But those in and of themselves are very important things. If everybody or most everybody out there will do them, we can prevail in this. We don't. We have more power than we think if we act together. I mean, you know, another good example of that is your choice of where you spend your money. I mean, none of us as individuals have a lot of money, but in the aggregate, we all do, and we could make a tremendous impact on the economy of this country if we simply withheld our funds from certain sectors and spent them in others. We have more power than we think we do. So, and that applies across the board to economic issues, to political issues, to issues of war and peace, various other things. But we need to work together and simply speak the truth.
And I'd like to jump in just real quick, if I could, as Southern Nationalists, and this is not an excuse, but it's the way I see it. We've got to fight on two fronts. We're fighting our enemy. And then we're trying to convince our own people who the enemy is. So we've got to
tell them. Right.
And like I said, I'm not trying to make excuses, but that's the situation we're in. Because we ask ourselves all the time, or at least I know I do, what can we do different? What can I do different?
Than, yes.
Because Dr. Hill, you know, I've been around 24 years. What can we do different? Or do we just have to be patient and let things play out? I would just step aside after saying that. What could we do different, or do we just have to kind of let things play out and see what happens?
Well, I just think we have to redouble our efforts to get the word out to Southerners about what Southern nationalism is and what the benefits of it are. And unfortunately, we don't have the megaphone, if you will, that our enemies have. You know, we have to do it through lesser means, including face-to-face. But we don't need to be frustrated. We just need to get out every day and do what we can and then go back the next day and do it again. And pray that God will give us good fruit from our efforts. And I know we're almost to the end of the hour, but we got a league summer conference coming at Dixie Republic in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, on Saturday, July the 8th. If you'll go to our website, leagueofthesouth.com, we'll be having details put up about this meeting. But, you know, things like this, come to things like this and learn the truth and go home and spread that truth around to your friends and neighbors and people you work with and go to church with. And say, hey, we got an organization out here who has a plan, and you know we need to support them. We need to listen to them, and it's just a matter of putting your shoulder to the grindstone and just pushing as hard as you can every day, every chance you have. And we're going to be doing more of these sort of one day events in different parts of the South, God willing, over the next couple of years, and. This will be the next one, July the 8th, which is a Saturday in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, at Dixie Republic. So put that on your calendar and be there.
Last question, Dr. Hill, quickly. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is talking about running for president. We got about 30 seconds. Will he be assassinated by the CIA like his father and his dad?
I'm not betting any money against it. I'm telling you that.
Well, he's talking about spilling. He's talking about some heavy stuff. For instance, putting the finger on the Fauciites, the people who started that virus. I wish we had a little bit more time to talk about that. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hill. God bless you. You feel that you do like you always do. You fill the hour from wall to wall. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you for the chance. Appreciate it.
You, sir. Thank you for coming on.
Right.
People, hold on. That was the one and only Dr. Hill. We're transitioning into our last hour, the final hour. We're going to pick up my big sister, Nancy Hitt, and my little sister, Monica Braveheart. She'll be coming right on in just a few minutes. Hold on, folks.